Yeah, praise God. Glory to God. All right, amen. So, yep, our faith is intact. Our faith is together. And then we jump right in. So in John was saying in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? The same, that's the Word, was with God in the beginning. All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was nothing made that was made. So you and I have got to understand the importance of the Word. So John 1 again, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. It's amazing how that it is Word that God used in representing himself. It is Word that Jesus was before he was, you know, born by Mary. Word. Why Word? It sells a thought. It communicates a revelation. Listen, a man cannot be separated from his words. All right. You are what you say. You are your words. Your words are you. So if there's an event somewhere and you expected a particular person, he or she couldn't make it, and then sent a representative. And then when the representative speaks, you won't just say what the representative said. You will say, oh, this was what the representative was sent to say. All right. And usually the representative comes up with some speech that has already been prepared and begins to roll out, you know, this, that, and speaks, you know, the words given by whoever he or she was representing. And then we say, oh, such and such a person said XYZ. These words were said through, you know, the representative that was sent, but the words themselves came from this person. And the person cannot go, I didn't say so. You text somebody. I mean, the person didn't appear in text and then start saying stuff to you. The person just sent text. You didn't see the person's face. You know, you didn't hear a person's voice. Not a voice note, right? A text or maybe an email. And then the person cannot go, oh, I didn't say that. No, you did. All right. Maybe I need to explain what you meant by what you said, but this is what you said. So meaning when we see your words, we've seen you. When we hear your words, we've heard you. Did you get that? When we see your words, we see you. When we hear your words, we hear you. When we feel your words, we feel you. So you and your words are one, actually. So the revelation in John chapter 1 is a revelation of God and his word. And it's actually a revelation of us and our words. So John 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you get that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So you wonder, okay, well, I know now Jesus and God are same. Hold on. In the beginning was the Word. That Word was with God. That Word was God. God and that Word couldn't be separated. God and the Word were one. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by the Word. You say, hold on, but God created everything. How? He spoke. So Bible is revealing to us that the Word can have a personality. The Word carries life. So which means words can carry life. Words can communicate meaning. They can communicate essence. Do you understand this, please? So I'm saying that because we, at the end of the day, and like I said, it's the desire of my heart. It's what I'm learning. You know, okay, so I actually planned we're going to teach this in February, not January. January, this particular edition was on being led by the Spirit initially, and then some decisions needed to be made for certain reasons. Okay, so let's bring this up. So next edition, we're talking about the leading of the Spirit. I just wanted us to start off, but I've just come to appreciate God for this. This is a great way to begin. So please take note and follow me. I might rush at some point. I might slow down like I'm doing right now. But once again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the Word. Without the Word, nothing was made. Nothing at all could be touched. Nothing could be, nothing. And then, so each time we go to Genesis, and we will see that in a minute, and then we see God speaking, and then God is speaking, and then God is speaking. Bible is saying that those words he spoke, I know you know that, the words he spoke were the ones of was what was doing the creation. All things were made by the word, and nothing was made without the word. If the words God spoke were that effective and that powerful, guys, you and I have got to understand that. Listen, the words I speak have to be that effective, have to be that powerful. Not because that's even what we're desiring to make it to be, but that's exactly how God wants it. God wants that our words are effective. God wants that our words are powerful. That's how he wants our words to be. That's what he wants our words to accomplish. So you and I are going to have to say, hey, we can in every single way, all right? You and I, in every way, we can understand. Listen, our words are powerful. Our words are effective. Our words are efficient. Our words, and our words will do so mighty much. Amen. Glory to God. So our words will do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, I'm trying to get Gabriel into, all right, to share screen. So we could jump in from there. That would be, you know, very helpful to some. Well, to every one of us. All right, Gabriel, you could try to share screen. Let's see how that goes. Praise Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're talking about words, all right? So we have to see this, and then we're going to get it. Thank you, dear Lord. So John 1 again, and I'm putting, I need to see John 1, Genesis 1. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was God. Please understand that the Word was God. Your words are you. Your words locate you. Your words find you. Your words are you. Your words. When you say something, it's like your address in the realm of the spirit. When you say something, you are creating a home, a base, a location for yourself. You wonder, but I was just saying something. And I trust that right after now, you and I'm learning it, and I'm glad I'm sharing it right now at the beginning of the year. So that we'll be more in tune with how this thing flows and how these things fly, you know, and then how this whole thing works. Glory to God. Okay, let me switch hosts. Let's see how that works. I'm trying to get Gabriel in. I need Gabriel now so that, praise God. Okay. Media. Make host. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, try and share, please. All panelists can share. Oh, okay, all right. Okay. Let me know when you're set. All right, gotcha. Okay, once you sorted the technical hitch, then we'll be good to go. Okay, praise God. All right, guys, well, you got your Bibles, you got your pen, you got your writing materials. All right. I just, Gabriel is the go-to so that we could see the different versions and transitions up on the screen and run from there. Thank you there, Jesus. All right. So I'm going to break this thing down. Number one, so write this down. The establishing witness. Did you get that? So first point is that your words are same as you. Your words are you. Please understand. Your words are you. Note that as point number one. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All right? So how do you pray? How do you talk to him? You say, God said. Did God stand in front of you to say? No. Did you get that? But if God were to stand in front of you to say something, it won't be different from what he's already said. We're going to see that in a minute, more than a minute anyway. But Jesus was saying to the devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. Why? And likely for tomorrow, but I need to get that right. You know, I'm at it. So let me say, you might have heard, you know, people, you know, especially prophets, those called into the office of the prophet, say, oh, God will never do anything except is revealed to his servants, the prophet. You know, And you say, God, okay, volume louder. All right. God will never do anything except he's revealed to, you know, the servants, you know, his prophet. I will go, so I'm a prophet of God, you know, so God reveals things to me. So God tells me stuff, you know, with due respect to those in that office, well, I'm just saying something. So we brag about the fact that God reveals things to the prophets, and he does reveal things to the prophets, but we must also understand, why would he reveal things to the prophets? So it's not enough to say it is revealed. The question is why. God reveals it to them so they can speak them. God reveals it to them so they can note them. Please understand this. Because we must understand this revelation. So God reveals, God will not do anything. All right? Unless it is revealed to his servants, the prophets. Question is, when the prophets have that word from God revealed to them, what do? They speak them. Behold, a virgin will give birth. I am the children the Lord has given unto me. None of my bones were broken. What were they doing? They were speaking them. It needed to be released into the earth in agreement with the will of God. It was the will of God. But God can't just speak it all the way from heaven and then it happens. But God needs to do something. So God has to reveal it to the vessel that will speak it forth. Why? Because he's speaking it forth. He gives life to it. It's in speaking it forth. It is embodied. So you find it, Daniel, in now the book of Daniel, chapter 9, you know, saying, oh, I had to go through the writings of Jeremiah to realize certain things. What was he doing? Something that God spoke to Jeremiah, which Jeremiah declared, which Jeremiah wrote. Daniel picks the same thing in prayer, speaks them, and the angel of God responds to him. So God is revealing things so that they can be spoken. They are written so that they can be spoken. And the more we speak those words, they come together. So eventually the angel shows up and says, hey, virgin, you are going to give birth. That angel could never have had to carry that assignment out if the prophets had not been speaking it already. God would not do anything unless it is revealed to the servants, the prophets. But we brag about the revelation. We miss that it was revealed so that it could be spoken. I hope this is getting clear already. It is revealed so that it is spoken. It is revealed so that it is spoken. Words have to be released. For so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper where I send it. So words are revealed so that they can be spoken. Words are noted, written so that they can be spoken. So you find Jesus coming in the scriptures, you know, when he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, and then he came into the synagogue, he opened the book of Isaiah, and he read from, you know, in Luke 4:18 there, he read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah had said it, but Isaiah spoke it ahead of Isaiah's time so that it can have life, so that it will come to pass. Then the person, the word now who had become flesh, all the word, everybody had been speaking. They were speaking it because in the fullness of time, all the words spoken are forming into the flesh. So God can be separated from his word. You can't be separated from your words. If God created with his words, you create with your words. I know you know it. It will sink in. And then we're going to drive this car of ours, which is our lives. We're going to drive it into the glorious future God has for it. So I said we're talking about the establishing witness. There has to be the establishment of the word of God. Somebody has to establish it. Somebody has to put it into view, put it into place, put it into circle. Sometimes, okay, so you and I are praying, and then we're talking to God as though, God, you need to bring your word to pass. Relax. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So if there's a place it's not settled in yet, it's not heaven. It's us. You got to get this. So God's word is settled in heaven. So we don't need to be bothered about that part. It is here, right here on earth, that we need to settle it and establish the words of God rather than going about to establish the words of the devil. So many times when we say something, watch this now, we need to check. There was a question that God asked Adam in Genesis. God said to him, you know, when Adam, God said, Adam, where are you? He said, we heard the voice, you know, your word, voice in the wilderness. Why am I coming to wilderness? You know, in the garden, then we went to hide ourselves because we're naked. And then God asked him, who told you? Who said this thing to you? Because you have to be careful what you voice out. Is it in line with what God told you? Or is it in line with what somebody else is telling you? Is it in line with your situation or circumstance? Or what exactly? So who told you? So the last 1 week, guys, the things you and I have been saying, who told us? Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's our buddies. Maybe whatever it is. But you need to go back to what God asked Adam. Who told you? Who told you this stuff? Who told you this thing? Why is this on your mind? Because for every word you speak, you are establishing something. For every word you speak, you either, watch this again, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Where? In heaven. There's no problem about that. Don't be bothered about it. What you and I now need is for God's word to be established right here on the earth. How do we establish it? We give voice to it. Are you clear on this? I will come back again to establishing witness in the next few minutes, but I want to settle that back. You can only watch this. The things you say are the things you establish. If you say what God is saying, then you establish what God is saying. If you say what the devil is saying, then you establish what the devil is saying. I've tried this thing for so long. It's not working. Oh, you say, but it's not working. So I'm only saying it is not. No, I know what you are saying, but you and I from today need to be careful with what we are achieving. So I know you're trying to explain the situation, but you might be accomplishing more than that and you do not know. So are you establishing the will of God? Are you establishing the will of the enemy? Jesus said, we'll take it one after the other. So that I'm just sticking with these notes. So many times you and I, you know, we pray and people think they're praying, but what they eventually are doing is that they're complaining. All right. But when you pray, let me bring this realization to you. What we call prayer, we're actually speaking words. What you call praise and worship, words. You were singing, you were dancing, but you were speaking words. Oh, I worship you. I praise you. However melodious you were putting it, you spoke words to God. When you were praying and talking to him, you were speaking words to him. But it's not enough to say, but I am praying. What exactly are you establishing? Whose words are you presenting in that place of prayer and by that action of prayer? Do you understand this? So let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 and then verse 1. I'll explain this thing. You will get it, and I'll try to be quick about it. So in Hebrews 3 verse 1, are you there? I am. So King James, and I'll explain from New King James. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Watch this. So that's all of us, you and I. Wherefore, you, me, all right? Holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. So we have a calling that is heavenly. We've been invited to the heavenly party. We already have our invites, all right? Well, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Watch this. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So number one, Jesus is an apostle, and not just an apostle, he is the apostle. Number two, he is the high priest. Sometimes you get to wonder, so what exactly is Jesus doing right now? He is our high priest, according to Hebrews 3:1. He is our advocate, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. All right? I write this thing that you see not if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is our intercessor, according to Romans chapter 8. All right? He lived to make intercessions for us. So we see that already, you know, because you wonder, he's resurrected. What is he doing? He's not just right there receiving worship and jumping all around the place. He is ministering. He is in ministry. There's such a thing called the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. If you get a book with that title by Kenneth Yegin, it will bless you. So you understand that something is still going on. Jesus is busy. So we see that he's an advocate, like I said, from 1 John 2. But here it calls him a high priest. Now a high priest, guys, must have something to offer. A high priest is right there in the Holy of Holies. Now, physically, we are here. Positionally, we are there. Physically, he is there. Positionally, he is here. Did you get that? 2 Corinthians, all right? Chapter 5 says, if one died for all, then all that are dead. And they that live will live not only for themselves, but for him that died. All right? So, physically, we're here. But positionally, spiritually, we're there. So, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5. So, but we're here physically, aren't you? I am physically. But then positionally, spiritually, we're seated together with him in heavenly places. But he, according to Hebrews, appeared in the presence of God for us. So I am in the presence of God, but I'm not there physically. I'm there positionally. Do you understand that? So he's the high priest. He's the one, therefore. So as high priest, he must be ministering something. Consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, King James, profession, Christ Jesus. If we switch this right now to the new King James, it changes it to high priest of our confession. It's the same word, confession. Without going into the Greek, it just means to profess, to confess, to declare, to acknowledge, to say what is said. Do you understand that? So our profession is our confession. So what do you profess to be? I know you could say banker, lawyer. No, you profess to be a Christian. Paul was writing to Timothy and he said, the great profession that you made in front of many witnesses, the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's our confession. So Jesus is the high priest over our profession, the high priest over our confession. Over the words of our mouth. You need to stay with me on this, please. Jesus, therefore, amongst other things he might be offering, he seems to be attending to the words we speak. Did you get what I just said? Jesus, amongst other things, seems to be attending to the words we speak. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. All right. Are you there? Matthew 10 and 32. Then 32. Watch this. Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33. Whoever will deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. We could bring this as an eschatological scripture and all of that. But then there's something to learn here. John 1, again, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Remember that? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the Word. Without the Word was nothing made that was made. And verse 14 of John 1, remember? Please write these things down. John 1, 14 now says, the Word became flesh. So the person of Jesus Christ, that baby that was in the womb of Mary, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, that grew and became the savior of the world, that baby was the Word. The Word became flesh. Do you understand that? So Jesus says, whosoever will confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. We could use this, like I said, and bring about, you know, some other thoughts on eschatology. But if Jesus is the Word, and he is, so this could apply and connect with the high priestly ministry without doing injustice to context, and say, whosoever confesses my word before man on the earth, I will acknowledge, confess, repeat his word before my Father in heaven. Whosoever denies my word or speaks a wrong word right here on earth, I won't be able to translate or minister that word in front of my Father in heaven. Did you get this, please? Because he's a high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest would take offerings of blood, going to the, you know, holy, most holy place and minister there. He's now the high priest. There's no new blood being shed. He was the lamb. He was the high priest. Do you understand? But Hebrews says it's a high priest over our profession. You are Lord. You are Lord. He's high priest over those words. High priest over those words. High priest over our confession, our profession. And then he says, yeah, if you confess me, then I'll confess you. If you deny me, then I'll deny you. So you might say, oh, Jesus is going to deny me. He's not denying you, but the words from your mouth that cannot be repeated in front of the Father will be denied. Did you get this? 1 John and the 5th chapter of 1 John. I want you to see this. We use it a lot when we lead prayer, so I'm sure some of you would be used to this. 1 John 5 and the 14th verse. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That means if you ask anything according to his will is his word. So if you ask anything according to his word, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So number one, ask according to his will. His will is his word. The only way to know his will is to go to his word. So if I ask according to his word, then I know he hears me. The word hear there, we could also use it as I have his audience. Did you get that? Because we could say, I mean, I teach righteousness and, you know, who we are in Christ. And that's my message. That's my call. But every word you utter is not acceptable before God. Every word you and I speak is not acceptable before Jesus Christ. We know this verse. If you ask anything according to his will, we know. It says this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Reverse the verse. And if you've heard me teach, we could reverse the verse to get the meaning also. If we ask anything that is not according to his will, we know he will not hear us. We know we're not gaining his attention on that point. So very many times it's not enough to say, I prayed. Is it in line with his will? But what we're going to learn right now, and which is important, those moments of prayer where you and I, you know, try to speak Christianese and we try to speak words of faith and gather scriptures and all of that, they're wonderful. And maybe you have daily confessions you get to use and you wake up every morning and you declare God's word 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 25 minutes, you do all that. Those stuffs you said, they are great. But the things you said for the rest of the day could make them null if they are contrary to the will of God. You have to understand this. And so that's what we're learning about words, because your prayers were words. So in a day, what was the percentage of the words that were hearable? Did you get that? If we ask anything according to his will, we know he will hear us. Is this lining up now? Don't forget, we began from Hebrews 3:1. He's the high priest over our words. So there are words you and I will speak, and then he's not hearing that. And he cannot repeat those words in front of the Father. If you confess me on the earth before man, I'll repeat, I'm your high priest. I'll repeat your words in front of my Father. If you speak words that, I cannot repeat. You know, it's not working. I'm getting tired. I'm fed up. It's not, he can't say that. He can't say it's not working. She's getting tired. She's fed up. Those words empower the enemy. They don't empower God. Are you with me, please? Those words don't empower God. They empower the enemy. Those words bind God. You say, is it possible? We're going to see all of this. Words bind God. Words can limit God. That's a better way to put it. But we hinder him from operating. I'm learning this, we're learning this, and then we're going to get better. Amen? But is this clear? This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We know. So if we ask what is not according to his will, he's not hearing us. Does it mean he's doing tone deaf? No, he's not. He cares about you. So he, in his love, but the words you speak, they are not acceptable. He can't offer them in front of the Father. Is this tying up now? He's a high priest. He's a high priest. Psalm 91. We all know Psalm 91. And then I remember the first time I learned this from Kenneth Copeland many years ago. I felt, woof, this blessed me. This blessed me. And I've shared it, you know, a few times, but it's just wonderful. Watch this. There are different characters in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We all know the verse. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Guys, in the whole of Psalm 91, this was the only thing the person said. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. One of the times I explained this, I just did exactly what I saw Kenneth Copeland do. Like, I think it did sometime in the 90s or something. It was an old video. 90s or early 2000s, but I think it was 90s. You know, I just acted out what I saw him do. All right, so there is the believer speaking the word. There is the high priest over those words who picks your words and offers it up to God. And then there is God in this whole Psalm 91 who receives the word and releases the blessing right here. Verse 1 could give it over to the narrator. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Or it could just be the summary of, so we could throw around Psalm 91 to any of the characters in the play, if you understand me. But verse 2 was the only thing said. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. This was all that was said. Verse 3, watch the statement in verse 3. Verse 2 is a first person statement. Verse 3 isn't. Surely he will deliver you. So someone is saying, God is my refuge. Suddenly someone seems to have appeared beside him to say, yeah. And that God you just talked about will deliver you. Someone is like the mediator. And we know Jesus is the mediator. He's a high priest of the New Testament. Surely he, God, will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He, God, will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust, and his truth will be your shield and your buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays within noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes would you see and behold the reward of the wicked, because you believer, you've made the Lord, who is my own refuge also, even the Most High, your habitation, you made him your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither will any plague come near your dwelling. He, God, will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up, you know, in their hands, lest you dash your feet against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and dragon, you will trample underfoot. Verse 14, God seems to have stepped in. Because he set his love on me. Voice, language is different. From verse 3 to 13, someone was telling the believer what God would do. Now verse 14, God seems to have stepped in. Because he set his love on me, therefore I will, yes, deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He will call on me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life, will satisfy him. Show him my salvation. All right? You see the structure here has three major characters. But the only thing the guy said, the believer said, was verse 2. I will say of the Lord, it is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Good to have you in, Gabriel. Great. Great. You've got to see this. And you and I have to understand the words we speak. You are my fortress in the midst of trouble. Someone is your high priest waiting for those words. Waiting, wants to offer the words up. So the words you speak that go against him, he can't confess them before his father. Those who confess me before men, I'll confess before my father. Those who deny my word before men, I will deny, you know. So I'm saying it's not him, me. Jesus said, if I deny him, he won't deny me. No. You're born again. But the words of your mouth can be denied if we ask according to his will. We have audience. If we don't talk according to his will, there is no audience. Oh, he loves me, but there's no audience. Why? It's a word-based relationship. Did you get this? It's a word-based. You and I must hook into the word. Did you get this? If it's just say whatever you want to say, you'll be fine, everything. No, it's not say whatever you want to say. God didn't say whatever he felt like saying. So are we clear on this, guys? The high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. So that when you go to praying, I know you're hurting, but try not to make the prayer time a complaint time. God, I'm just so tired. I just don't know. I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. And I'm frustrated and I'm mad. I understand, yeah, we're trying to talk to him as daddy, but mind how you use the words when you phrase them. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He still had to watch his words. He prayed until his sweat became drops of blood. But he had to still watch his words. If you ask me that, this is how I feel, but not my will. Not my will, not my feeling, not my feeling. Was it because he was afraid to die? No. He's raised the dead. Death wasn't an issue with him. So I say, oh, but I thought it was, no, death couldn't be an issue. Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. Why would death ever be an issue with him? He raised Jairus' daughter, raised, you know, the son of the widow of Nain. He raised Lazarus. And there were much more that we don't have accounts of. Dying and getting up won't be a problem for him. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. It didn't say he who knew no sin became a sinner. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin. So he was going to become something. And if you know, the eyes of God cannot behold iniquity. So for the first time in all of their lives, God and his word were going to be separated. God and his son would be separated. If you read the Gospel of John, which I believe you have, you will see the way Jesus talked. I am my father at one. I am my father at one. My father is always, I mean, he always talked about it because that's how he lived his life. And for the first time ever, even if it was going to be 2 seconds, there was going to be a separation. That was dreadful to him because we haven't come to understand the value of that level of presence. We could do 2-3 days and not pray. We could do a whole week and not read our Bibles. We could do a whole lot of stuff and it's as if life goes on. For him, life can never go on. Because their union was absolute. And that's why on the cross he cried, my father, why have you forsaken me? Hebrews 12 says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So he saw something, but he saw beyond it. So he could go through it. God, not my will. Even when he had agony, guys, he watched his words. Oh, thank you, dear Lord Jesus. He watched his words. He knew what he was going to go through, but he knew the blessing that will come after. So he went through the pain, went through the shame. You know? And let me quickly say this. You know, many times someone says, oh, I'm going through a tough time. I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through. It's either you say it as a faith statement or as you're complaining, but usually it's not a faith statement. But you know, you can convert that to a faith statement. You say, how? I'm going through. Meaning I'm not stopping here. I'm not staying here. I'm not making my bed here. How are you doing? You know, I'm going through a tough time. But I know I'm coming out strong. I'm going through. I'm not leaving here. It's not my boss. I'm going through. Oh, it's tough. It's rough, but I'm coming out. So at the end of the day, you're declaring your faith. While you might be wanting to express, you know, maybe loss of job, loss of this, loss of that. You know, someone say, man, aren't things tough right now? You say, well, yeah, but I'm going through it. Don't you get it? Did you get it? You did, right? No, I'm going through a tough time. Go through, guys. Let's go through it. Did you get it? Just like that, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Jesus, for the joy set before him, he didn't just go to the cross. He went through. He was just going to hang in there for just a little time. He was just going to endure the cross. He would despise the shame. And then he's going to sit down. He was just going to pass through it. Whatever it is you and I are going through, guys, we're passing through. And we're coming out strong. We're coming out effective. We're coming out better. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you and I have to understand that, you know, those words we speak, oh God, it's not working. The problem is becoming bigger. God is getting worse. You're establishing. Remember establishing witness we said earlier? You're establishing the will of the devil, empowering the devil over that situation. You're like, but can't I tell God how I feel? We just saw an example from Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong in explaining or describing if that's what you want to do. But eventually you have to pray the situation. Eventually you have to show scripture and say, Father, this is what you said. So I'm going to stay on what you said. And I'm going to speak back to you what you said. You don't say, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. The bill is, you know, due. Things are tough. Things are, you know. I know the feeling. We're there. You have things to pay. But that's when the high priest wants to hear you say, my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've been younger now, I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seen. That's when he wants to hear you say it. He wants you to say what he will offer. He wants you to say what he can repeat in front of Father. Your words are important, not just at moments of prayer, when you're dining, when you're riding, when you're in your room, when you're with your friends, because many times we've dichotomized this whole thing such that, oh, when I'm praying, I want to now be very Christianese. When I'm making my confessions, then when I'm on my way to work, someone goes, oh, the economy is so bad. Yes. In fact, our leaders are clueless. You say, aren't they? Let me hold on. There's a portion where I want us to read, you know, a few verses from the book of Proverbs, and then you answer that part for yourself. But they are clueless. Are you saying they are not clueless? When we get to the bit of Proverbs, then we'll answer that part for ourselves. You know, so, but I trust you're getting this, right? Because you and I must understand it's not enough to say I'm praying. It's not enough to say, hey, I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm fasting. No, you're releasing faith. And the faith transcends that moment of 3-day fast. It transcends that 1 hour or 3 hours of prayer, or 45 minutes or 20 minutes of prayer. It's what are you busy saying? Because it's what you say that your high priest can offer up. It's what you say that your high priest can lift up back. Let's talk a bit about spiritual warfare, and maybe you get this. You will. We've prayed. I've prayed for you. I trust you've prayed. You will get this. And it's all lining up, okay? So Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. from verse 1, right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And I want you to see this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, darkness was upon the face of the deep. All right. So the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. All right. So verse 3. Let's go. So God said, let there be light. I want you to see something. Let there be light. There was light. All right. Let's go. Then he saw the light that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. Let's go. We're going. All right. Call the light day, night to call darkness. Even that morning was the first day. This is amazing. And then God said, let there be firmament. Let's divide the waters from the waters. And they kept on going, and they made the firmament, and, you know, the waters, you know, from firmament divided them above, and it was so. Verse 8. And he called the firmament heaven, evening and morning, second day. Okay. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. Let the dry land appear. It was so. And he called the dry land earth, and gathering of water is called sea. And God said it was good. Verse 11. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs. Okay. And then we're going and going. Let me tell you where I'm going. I just wanted you to see that all of this while there was no sunlight. Please get this. No sunlight. And God had made the firmament, the dry ground that appeared. And now let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit yielding. Who seed is in itself? And the earth brought forth grass and yielding seed and tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself of its kind. And God said that was good. And verse 13, and the evening and morning were the third day. Now this is where we're going. And he said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Verse 15, and let them be for light and firmament, heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule by day, the lesser light to rule by night. And he made the stars also. And he set them in firmament to give light upon the earth. And then, you know, and to rule over the day and over the night and divide. And God, so sunlight came day 4. So what was the light in day 1? God created the heavens and the earth, and it was off and void, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Again, you have to look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens, all right, and the earth, right? It says the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness here, however you want to see it as just darkness, is a spiritual presence. Do you get this, please? So God says, let there be light. God declares his presence. And then there was light. You go, no, it's sunlight. No, sun wasn't here until day 4. God does not need sunlight to see. Did you get that? God doesn't need sunlight. In heaven, there is no sun. You find that in Isaiah 60. You find that in Revelations 22. There is no sunlight in heaven. There's no need for lamp. There's no need for candle. There's nothing. God himself is light. So it was a declaration of person and presence and personality. How did he declare it? Words. So it was a battle of light and darkness. I say, really? Yes. It wasn't sunlight and daylight. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That was something ugly and horrible. How did God deal with the darkness? Let there be light. Or light be. More like it. And then the light came. God spoke light. And like, come on. John chapter 1 from verse 1. Well, maybe not verse 1, but verse 1. In the beginning, John chapter 1 from verse 1 actually paints a picture of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John, forgive me. We're reading Genesis. It's John 1. John from verse chapter 1 from verse 1. All right. In the beginning was the Word. Yeah, thank you. And the Word, I want you to watch this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Watch this. Follow me in that beginning of Genesis. All right. This Word was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 now. All things were made by him, the Word. Without him was nothing made that was made. The word made everything. Yeah, you know. Hold on. He's describing Genesis chapter 1, verse 4 now, please. In him, the word was life. And the life was the light of man. Sun is not your light. Christ is your light. Watch this. And this light shines in darkness, and the darkness don't comprehend in which darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Then God said. So it wasn't darkness like, oh, it's dark. No, there was a presence. There was darkness. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness. Watch this, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, please. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Look at verse 9, guys. That was the true light that lighted every man that comes into the world. So when God said, let there be light, it was a declaration of his presence, of his person, of the Christ. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, you have to understand this. To say, what's going on? This is spiritual warfare from Genesis chapter 1. Do you remember in Luke chapter 10, Jesus, you know, when they came back to him and were telling him, hey, you know, the demons were subject to us in your name. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall down as lightning. He said that to them. All right. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. So there was a casting down of the enemy. And victory over the enemy, guys, is exhibited, is carried out by words. Satan understands the importance of words. And he's done a great job so far, all over the world, in helping men use words to destroy themselves. All right, all in the name of whatever it is we might want to say. But that stops. At least it stops for me, stops for you. Because the more enlightened we are, then we set a guard over our mouths and say, no, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to talk like that. And then you repent even of the ones you say, I shouldn't have said that. I know better than to have said that. In Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12, Bible lets us know in Revelation, so there was war in heaven and all of that. But let's see Isaiah 14 from the 12th verse. It says, how are that falling from heaven? Don't forget, Luke 10, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. How are that falling? How are thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you that weakened the nations? That means when you landed, it weakened the nations. Now, there's an argument over all of the beginnings of Genesis, but I mean, it just adds up with my study. All right, let's go on. Watch this. For you have said in your heart, I will. Watch. And he spoke five I wills. Please understand this. When he made these statements, war had started. This was the war. It wasn't he was talking, then they will now start fighting. This exactly was the war. For thou had said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountains of the congregation in the sides of the north. Those are three I wills already. There are five of them. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. God is not sitting there and saying, oh, is that what you want to do? Grab a seat. Let's talk about it. There's nothing to talk about. War started. I'll jump ahead quickly. Remember Ephesians chapter 6. It says you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So words are swords. So when this guy was speaking, you know, thanks, Gabriel. He was talking. He was, swords were running. Do you understand that? He says you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. But how is the Spirit going to cut through something when the guys who should establish, you are the establishing witness, when we who should establish these things, we who should cut through, were quiet? But rather than repeat what God is saying, we repeat what the devil is saying. So we take the sword of the enemy. You see that in Proverbs. Let's just hold on, you know, just a few verses from Proverbs I just want us to read before we end today. You know, can you just say, hey, no. Let's go back to that Isaiah, you know, from the 14th, and then we'll just read maybe to the 16th verse. Isaiah 12 and 14. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. Hey, I will be like the Most High. From verse 12, God began to throw sword back at him. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Words, war. You will, they that see you will narrowly, oh dear, look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble, that he shake the nations? By the time you pick this, pick from Ezekiel, pick, you'd understand it was a war. And what were they doing? They were speaking. You say, were they not just speaking? No, the war was on. The spiritual battle was going on. Remember Jesus, when the devil tempted him? You could almost wonder, oh, but they were just, you know, the devil came and said to him, no, it was a war. And Jesus responded with, it is written. I mean, guys, what's the big deal? Isn't it not just to turn stone to bread and eat? It was more than that. It was attacking the very identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command stone to be bread. It was simple, but it was very deadly. It wasn't stone and bread. Why? Because in the baptism of Jesus by John, heavens opened, the Spirit of God descended like a dove. God said, this is my beloved Son. God spoke. So the devil was coming to counter a word that God spoke, plant doubt in the heart of Jesus Christ. It was all of that. Watch this, guys. Thanks, Gabriel. And when the tempter came, so you need to understand it was a temptation. If it was just, then it wouldn't be a bona fide temptation. It came to destroy the ministry of Jesus that was just about to begin. And how many times has he destroyed things that God has put in our hearts with doubt? I know God spoke to me to start, but I'm not sure if I can. If that's you right now, wake up, repent. I know God told me, but I'm afraid. I know God put that vision in my heart, but I don't even know where to begin. He who began it in you will finish it. The issue is that we've allowed ourselves to be open to the doubts of the enemy, to the thoughts of the enemy. And he tried it with Jesus Christ. If you are, God said, I am. If you are, Jesus said, no, I know the answer for you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes out of the mouth of God. So my satisfaction is what he says. And he said, I am his child. That is good enough for me. And that has to be good enough for you, child of God. Your satisfaction has to be what he said, not how you feel. He was hungry, but he didn't move by how he felt. Child of God, you have to wake up to the reality of who you are. You have to go back again and dust those things that God told you. We're going to get to heaven and we're going to be amazed as to how we either empowered him or to how we limited him. And it's time to take the limits off. It's time, child of God, to take the limits off. It's time to rise up and say, I will only say what my Father has said. This, you know, so when we talk about spiritual warfare, people, you know, I'm not denying that aspect of spiritual warfare, you know, but when we talk about spiritual warfare, people think of devils and demons and, you know, and then appearing and stuff's going on. I understand that. I mean, I was talking somewhere and it's not what I get. I didn't say every year, every 5 years, or every whatever. You know, but we're trying to say something. I said, I understand this thing. Listen, I've been struck by lightning before. Lightning struck you. How? Where? So I said, see, that's the point. If that's all the focus, then we miss it. What you look at is the authority of the word. Jesus, for instance, told disciples, let us go over to the other side. And there was a storm. What did he do? He spoke to it. Spiritual warfare. Some of you are even quick to pray. And there's nothing wrong with the prayer. But those prayers, you forgot they were words too. So the more you are grounded in the word, and that's why in John chapter 15, the seventh verse, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will, it will be done. So the interaction you and I have with the word is what we need. So how did Jesus fight his own spiritual warfare? It is written. The devil said to him, you know, jump down. Didn't the Bible say, you know, I mean, isn't it written that he will give his angels charge over you? He said, and Jesus quoted back again, you will not tempt the Lord your God. And this again, many believers are falling right there. Oh, I'm suicidal. Could you imagine I was standing by the road and I just felt like I should just run across the road and let a car hit me. I'm suicidal. You say, oh, aren't I? Then I must be. I've had that thought many times. I have. I've been on a high place a number of times and then I feel, what if you jump? What if you jump? And I say, I'm suicidal. Every thought that comes to you is not your thought. It becomes your thought when you take it. That's why Jesus in Matthew 6 said, take no thought. You don't take it. If it's not our kind of thinking, we don't take it. You laugh over it, you ignore it, or you speak to it. People have had to, you know, maybe they were bathing a baby or something and it fell. Just dip the baby inside the water, dip the baby in the water. It's crossed my own mind. So I don't know if it's happened to you. And I feel, oh, I'm so murderous. How could I just... It's not your thought. And because many are ignorant of this, the devil comes in and takes advantage of it and capitalizes on it. It becomes a stronghold. You start seeing yourself as suicidal. Those thoughts are seeds of words. Thoughts are words. We think, I'm sure most of us here think maybe in English maybe being your first language, but some actually think in their native languages and all of that. But we think in words. So how will I do it? Where would I go? So what I cook, how you're thinking words. So thoughts are word seeds. They're words. So the enemy comes in like he did to Jesus to bring in words. He wants to sow those words. But you don't take the word. It's not yours. You refuse it. You resist it. You reject it. I hope this is helping you, because don't be careless with your thoughts. They don't like me. They hate me. They just want to see me fall. Those thoughts will never be helpful to you. You need to stop them. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, please. I will just go straight to verse 8. Just Philippians 4 and 8, straight up. Thank you, Gabriel. You know, so that you and I just understand, hey, every thought that comes to me is not my thought. Finally, brethren, what things soever are true, what things soever are honest, what things ever are just, what things ever are pure, what things ever are lovely, what things ever are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Most negative thoughts can never pass through this list. All of them can pass through this test, even if they were true. Oh, is it true that they hate me? Yes, it's true. They hate me. Is it honest? It depends on who is analyzing. You say, well, yeah, I heard it from a reliable source, something like that. Is it just? Next one will go now. Is it pure? Hatred is not pure thought. Doesn't make you feel blessed or want to give thanks to God. Is it lovely? No, it's not. Is it a good report? Is it of virtue? Is there any praise in it? I mean, would it, oh, glory? No, it hurts you. He said, then think. So this is the litmus test for thoughts. And sincerely, how many times you and I have allowed thoughts to, we've even forgotten there's a list like this, to screen the thoughts that come to us. To just think it, and worse off, say it. Isn't it true? However true you think it is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it good report? I don't think it is. Then don't say it. Kenneth Hagin would ask a question. He says, number one, that thing, is it true? Number two, would he bless the person that wants to hear it? Is it true? Would he bless the hearer? When you're so neck deep into gossip, you think, well, I was just passing an information across. Would he bless the hearer? Many times people have hurt me and someone else didn't know anybody hurt me. I've not done that too well, you know, in some important cases, but I've tried on many other instances because I would only be passing across the venom that they're trying to pass across to me. Oh, but it did that. And I've had times that someone did something to me and did something to someone else and a person comes and says, oh, this person, and it's a good time for me to say, oh, me too. And you say, oh, wow. So how are you going to handle that? And the person leaves me without having any idea I've suffered the same fate in the hands of the person. You don't need to know. Like I said, I've not been better at that or perfect at it, but it's time for you and I to improve. Because these are words. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Spiritual warfare. So we see Jesus being tempted. Spiritual warfare. We see God and the devil. Spiritual warfare. I hope you now understand Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit. War is going on. I love David and Goliath. The war began before David slung anything. The war was on. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, and David, you know, everybody was afraid this guy's going to kill you. He's a warrior from the beginning. Goliath said, am I a dog that you come to win a snowstorm and sling? And when David began, hey, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read from verse 40, please. 1 Samuel 17 from verse 40. I would love you to see this. I mean, it will bless you. He took his staff in his hand, 5 smooth stones, and then, you know, from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and he sling in his hand, drew near the Philistine. We're running down to 51. We're going to read this. We were reading this. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield, you know, went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, and like someone said, must have looked up, and then looked down, saw the guy. All right, maybe, maybe not. He disdained him, for he was a youth, a ruddy, you know, fair countenance. Let's go on, okay. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. How did he curse David? He spoke words. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Guys, this was not brag. You know, maybe you've seen two people trying to fight and they were talking. People were like, stop talking, stop fighting. I don't know if you've seen that before, but I have. Stop talking, stop fighting. And they start going, fight. And all of that. This one is the fight. This is the fight. And like you noticed with God, you noticed with Jesus, you would notice again with David, you never let the enemy have the last words. You don't repeat what the enemy said, and you don't allow him to have the last words. I'm just so careless. I'm so forgetful. Is that who you are? If the answer is no, then change it. Change it. You know, if, oh, I was just joking. Hey, it's all day, Joe. It's all day. Don't change it. Change the joke. There's a whole lot. We're going to see that. We have. Okay, let's keep reading. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, come to you here in the name of Lord, you know, Lord God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defiled. And This day, watch this. The Lord will. He's declaring it. Yeah, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you. And David, that was speaking, didn't have a sword in his hand, guys. He didn't have a sword. So that means I can talk about having something and the money's not with me yet. Did you get that? I will smite you. I will take your head from you. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the field, and all the earth will know that there's a God in Israel. You know, 47. And all the assembly know that the Lord saves not by sword or spear, because he wasn't holding his sword or spear, bro. This guy wasn't holding it. The Lord will not, you know, doesn't save by sword or spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it to my hands. And it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came out, drew near to David, David hasted. David ran. This man was pumped. Pumped. And that, you've expressed that before. You talk the word of God. Sometimes you're saying it and nothing is happening, and then you keep at it. Maybe sometimes day two, day three, you pick the same verse. You pick the same verse. It's pumping you up. David is beginning this pumping when he was going to face Goliath. Remember, he faced the lion, he faced the bear. This bro had been pumping himself for a while, talking the word, talking the word, talking the word. And read the rest of the story yourself. You'd love it. You know the whole sling went, the stone went through. He had to take Goliath's own sword and cut off Goliath's own head. Did you get that? He talked it. That was the warfare. Thanks. All right. Took the sword out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. But the war began with words. The war began with words. This is spiritual warfare. Daniel chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. We'll just skip everything quickly and go to 11 and 12. I could have asked us to read a bit, but this is spiritual warfare. So when thoughts come to you, when those words are coming to you, when those thoughts are coming, what do you say back? The enemy just brought a parcel to you, a package, and he wants you to sign. When you speak, you establish it. You just sign it out. Just sign it out. Say, no, I'm not saying that. There's something called the vocabulary of silence. You'd rather say nothing than say the wrong thing. Did you get that? You'd rather say nothing than say the wrong thing. Now, it's better to say the right thing, but it's far better to say nothing than say the wrong thing. The vocabulary of silence. The vocabulary of silence. The vocabulary of silence. So Daniel chapter 10, 11 and 12. So the angel was saying to Daniel, and he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Verse 12. Then said he to me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that you set yourself to understand and to chasten yourself before the Lord, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. Your words were heard. Prayer is all about words. When you pray, you speak words. Even when you talk in tongues, you're speaking words. All right? Tongue is not just gibberish. He that speaketh none unknown tongue, speaketh none unto men, but unto God. So you're speaking words. All right? You're speaking divine truths, secret things. You're speaking words. Very intelligent spiritual stuff is what you're saying. So the angel told Daniel, I have come, your words were heard, and I have come for your words. Your words were heard, I've come for your words. And you remember that I had to explain the whole Prince of Persia stuff. So the prayers of Daniel were empowering him. Daniel could have given up. And then he, you know, was delayed, and then angel, you know, Michael had to come and help him out. The archangel. So your words, your prayers, your declarations, your confessions, they empower angels all around you. Psalm 107, verse 2, please. Because it's spiritual warfare. Please note this thing from Genesis. Words are vital. Words are important. Words are crucial. All right, Psalm 107 Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103. You know, verse 20. That one is, we need that later. Thank you. The verse 2 of that, we need it later. Okay. you know what? Do 107 2. I mistakenly said 20, but give me 107 2. Now just let's get over it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I mean, I don't know if you remember back then when we sing, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and some people say, oh, so. No, he didn't say so. Like, say so. So he says so. You say, I am redeemed. You say, you've got to declare. Hope that's clear. All right. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You say, he has delivered me from the hand of the enemy. Oh, but things are not working. I feel I'm stagnating. I don't understand. Maybe I'm even need deliverance. Say, he had delivered me from the hands of the enemy. I say so. I say, you say it, you confess it, you repeat after him. He has delivered me from the hands of the enemy. He has delivered me from the hands of. When you say that, just say, I'm just talking. You just want us to be talking and talking. No, the sword of the Spirit is the word. So the more you speak the word, you're wielding that sword. Psalm 103 now, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandment, hearkening to the voice of his word. So the angel in Daniel's case was empowered by the words Daniel spoke. He said, I have come for your words and I've brought you words. Your words have been heard. You know, just the verse though. Okay, well, showing us that again. Thanks, Lord. You know, just I've come to show you this thing. So the angel is doing that. But watch this, the angels acting to the voice of his word. So this is his word. You and I have, I'm using my tab. So there's a Bible on my tab. But then I speak it. You are my refuge and my fortress. What am I doing? I'm giving voice to the word. What do angels hearken to? The voice of his word. Oh my goodness, I'm finished. They can't hear that. There's no verse for it. There's no verse for it. There's no verse. If things turn around, it didn't turn around because of your word. Turn around because of his mercy and kindness. He loves you. But a high priest cannot offer those words. Angels are going all about, guys. They are ministering spirits. And you've got to keep them busy by saying the right thing. We empower them by words. They hearken. They do the commands of God. They hearken to the voice of his words. How's your 2022 going to be? Oh, it's horrible. Oh, this, how is it going to be? Next question. How do you want it to be? You use your words and you drive yourself in that direction. Did you get me? You use your words and you drive yourself in that direction. James chapter 1 verse 26. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. James 1:26. Our words are important. Our words. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but he deceives his own heart and his religion is in vain. So it means part of our spiritual maturity, part of our piety, part of our service to God, the words of our mouths. I'm sure if we all mark ourselves right now, we might not pass, but there's no need to condemn ourselves. Let's move from today. What do I say? I'd rather say nothing than say the wrong thing. And this is not just about needs being met. This is everyday life. All right. Please, let's see the verse again. It'll help you. This is now this is beyond prayer. James is a brother of Jesus Christ. All right. So he understood. He saw Jesus. He lived with Jesus. So the people who've lived with us, me, you, I don't know, except they gather themselves, they could say, he's good rewards 10% or good rewards 25%. But James lived with Jesus and he saw Jesus. I mean, if you remember from John chapter 7, the brothers of Jesus did not believe in him. If you read John chapter 7 from verse 1, they didn't believe in him. They said, oh, you call yourself to be something. Oh, then go show yourself to the people that believe in you and all of that. You know, aren't you going also to the feast? And his brothers left the house. He said, my time is not yet come. They left, he left and went also to the feast. And then the popular, you know, John 7, we now get to the great day of the feast. You know, if any man thirsts, them come to me and drink. If you pick it from the first verse, write that down, go check it out, please. All right. No. That it's earlier in okay, from we could pick it from the first verse, I suppose. All right, All right, yeah, verse 2. All right, now the day of the feast was at hand. Okay, great. Verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart thence, go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you do. Verse 4. All right, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and himself, you know, openly, if you do these things, go show yourself to the world. You think they were giving a motivational speech, but look at verse 5. For neither his brethren believed in him. So they didn't believe in him. All right. So Gabriel wants you guys to see that. So let's go back now to James. So James 1. So this is James. James is one of the brothers of Jesus Christ, right? One of the children of Mary. So James, the brother of Jesus Christ, is writing and he says, if any one of you seem to be religious, he lived with the greatest man that ever lived. That's this James. He saw Jesus Christ. If anyone seemed to be religious and he doesn't bridle his tongue, this man deceives his heart. His religion is in vain. That means Jesus was perfect to the point of words spoken. And that's a challenge to all of us. You, me. It's a new year. So it's not just, God doesn't just want us to say, I release my faith and I got stuff. And then we're not being changed and transformed into the image of Christ. That's the whole essence of growth. That's the whole essence of the journey. Chapter 3 now, James from verse 1. James 3 from 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You got to see this. It's important. The importance of words. James says you bridle your tongue. My brethren, do not be masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Do not be many masters, we receive greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle his whole body. Once again, James lived with Jesus Christ. James said, the word perfect here is the word mature. He must have seen that standard with his brother. He says, if any man offend not in word, that person is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. There's a lot we're going to read here. Just maybe touch a few verses, but we'll keep this for tomorrow. Please, I believe you won't mind that. Let's just do maybe 3-4, right? Behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth. And this revelation is so important. We put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. So this is, imagine a horse, all right? So let's say this, I am one, a horse, all right? Example. And this is my mouth. So you put a bit in my mouth, all right? You have something with you to control. So you pull me this way. I go. So my whole body follows you because you put something in my mouth. Now, the dimension of the head, the mouth with the whole head, can be compared with the remaining dimension of the whole body. The rest of the body is way bigger than the head. And then the mouth is just a small part in the head. Are you getting this, please? The rest of the whole body is way bigger than the head. And then the mouth is this part of the head. But all because you can control the mouth, he says you can control the body. Did you get that? If you can control the mouth, then you can control the body. Next verse, please. Don't forget that. Big body of the horse can be controlled from the little mouth that is in the small head. Did you get that? The big body of a horse can be controlled from the little mouth that is in the small head. So we put bits in the horse's mouth and, you know, that they may obey us. And we turn about the whole body. Verse 4, please. Behold, so next example. Behold also ships, which though, all right, they be so great. Ships are big, not boats, not canoe. Ships, all right, maybe, you know, a vessel carrying whatever. Ship, all right, maybe cruise that, you know, has many decks. Ships, whatever it is. It's a ship, all right. You know, sailing, captain, you see the movies, and then there's a lower deck where they put food, prisoners, and all of that, all right? So behold also the ships, which be so great and are driven about by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm wherever the governor lists it. So big horse body is moved about by the small mouth that resides in the small head, or tiny mouth, small head. All right. Next verse now says the big ship. All right. That sailing vessel driven about by fierce wind is moved easily to the left or right just by a small rudder, a small helm, wherever the captain lists. It's already, let's do two more verses. Let's do two more verses. All right. I want to keep this small, but let's do some more verses. Wherever the captain wills. Now, watch this. Even so, the tongue is a little member. So he's going to talk about tongue. He began already saying, if you don't offend in words, you are mature. If you don't utter the wrong one, if you don't say the wrong one, if you don't, you're perfect. You could put your whole body in check. Did you get that? And the whole body there. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says if you can control the words, you can rule your life. You use a horse and says that horse is big. But if you control the mouth of the horse, you control the direction of that horse. That ship is big. If you control the little rudder, you control the direction of the ship. So even so, the tongue. All right, let's go. Even so, the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. Behold, how great a fire or a matter a little fire can kindle. Next verse. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquities, describing the unregenerated tongue, basically. The world is a fire, a world. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Watch this, that it defiles the whole body. The horse's mouth can direct the horse's life. The ship's rudder can direct the ship. It's saying here, your tongue can set fire, set blessing, set increase on your entire life. That it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature as it is set on fire by hell. Which part of your body, guys? Tongue. It's not as big as my hand. It's not as big as your hand. It's kind of like that insignificant part, but the Bible is saying that part can run your entire life and was given by God to run it. And the devil wants to use it. And that's why he's describing the unregenerated tongue. Sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Now, if the tongue can never be tamed, we'll see all this tomorrow, please. If the tongue can never be tamed, James will be writing. All right, but let me get ahead of myself. Remember what happened in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were together in one accord in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven. Rushing mighty wind, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Bible says, and there was divided, verse 3 now, there was divided upon each one of them. Watch how it describes it. And there appeared on each one, divided upon them, cloven tongues like fire. And it sat on each one of them. What happened to them? Verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. So the devil sets the tongue on fire, so that the tongue can ruin humanity, ruin the lives of men. The day they were filled with the Holy Ghost was that tongue the Holy Ghost went for. It was the tongue. That now we're anointing that tongue of yours and we're redirecting it for good. I mean, for whatever reason, why the fire that came had to look like tongues, cloven tongues. And utterance was affected. Utterance was given. And then you might have heard it taught again and again. Tongues, talking in tongues is a doorway into the realm of the spirit. Talking in the unknown language, the supernatural language of tongues. Why? It's you now by the spirit redirecting the course of your life. Because the devil's agenda was to use that same tongue from James, as James has explained to us, to set everything on fire. Now we're born again and see how many things we still might have set on fire with our tongues. But I was just trying to describe something. I was just trying to say it as it is. And sometimes I've been guilty of that too. You're trying to describe a situation or describe someone's habit. And then you're craft, correcting words. You're using words, and you know, these words ought not to be used. And I'm having to repent, and you have to repent. Our words have to be used differently. Because a tongue is set on fire, and the tongue can set anything on fire. But that same tongue can now make things good. Do you understand this, please? Let's read some places in Proverbs, like I said, we'll do before we close. And then maybe there's, like it gets to happen in Word Up, we've got a chunk of stuff. All right. And we've got a chunk of stuff. So praise Jesus. Hallelujah. You're here. You're being blessed. This is helping you, right? Glory to God. Amen. Let's see this. Proverbs. So I said at the beginning, I said we're used to hearing and maybe saying the word works. So, and by that we refer to the word of God. Now I want you to learn to say words work. All right. Words work. God's word, but words. Words work. Words work. Do you understand that? Words work. You know, before Proverbs, Gabe, let's do Genesis. Let's do Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. From the 19th verse. Let's do Genesis 2 from 19. Hallelujah. Yes, 2 from 19. And out of the ground, the Lord, you know, formed every beast of the field. And I want us to see what's about to happen here. So the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he brought them to Adam. And I want you to see this. He brought them to Adam to see what Adam will call them. All right. And Adam, and whatever Adam called every living creature, that was a name. So God allowed things pass. And so let's assume what was passing. There were situations. Okay. Just, you know, doesn't affect the context. All right. So no, we could still stay there, please, Gabriel. So I don't just flow on. I also have to look at the verse and look at the time. All right. Thank you. All right. And he brought them, you know, to Adam to see what he will call them, and whatever Adam called them, every living creature, that was their name. And it will just pass by, you know, just. So if you say cat, it's cat. If you say goat, it's goat. Whatever, and I want you to notice this. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. So let's go on. Verse 20. All right. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air, to the beast of the field. You know, says nothing was found for Adam. Okay, we'll just read through. We're going to 23. Nothing was found for Adam. Then God made a deep sleep to fall upon him, and he slept. And God took from his ribs and closed them, you know, put flesh back instead thereof. 22. And of the rib, watch this, you know, that God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. Verse 23. Now, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called. So the same way Adam named everything, Adam named the woman, all right, because she was taken out of me. So it was Adam that called woman, woman. And even the name Eve, chapter 3 now, verse 20. So Adam named. Adam said, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. All right, but don't forget, all these things were passing in front of him. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she's a mother of living thing. So he called her woman, he called her Eve. And I remember, you know, my wife has had to quote that verse for me. Whatever you call me is what I am. So I'm sure maybe she's smiling right now, like, yeah, Rev. Yeah, whatever you call me is what I am. And you know, you say, oh, but I'm just trying to describe a situation. I'm just be calling it. You know, guys, I mean, we've been calling it women. What do we call our jobs? What do we call our spouses? What do we call our children? What do we call the situations? These things are passing in front of us every day. You know, you're just so whatever feeling, whatever words you might be using, you're being descriptive. The question is, the thing we call, and this is the harsh reality of some of those things, it becomes real, it becomes established, and you start fighting the thing, but we're not changing the words we're speaking. Did you get that? We're fighting this job is now becoming horrible. It's really frustrating me. This husband of mine, this wife of mine, this friend of mine, this, you know, and then we were fighting the habits and attitudes and behaviors, but then we keep using words to describe. You are just so insensitive. And we keep using those words to keep describing. And then the person maintains and says, I said it. Can you not see that you are? But we're naming. We're naming. And then we need to take a deep breath and say, okay, I have called things names that I don't want. Yeah, you say you were trying to describe, but we've named things. God allowed these animals pass in front of Adam. And God said, hey, I'm not going to interfere. Name them, bro. So, child of God, what have we been naming things? What have we been naming circumstances? What have we been naming people? So this is beyond, I took my confessions in the morning. Those moments when we get angry, when we get mad, when we say things, we'll see all this better tomorrow. And I trust it will change us better, transform us better. You and me inclusive, all right? We're getting better and growing and improving. So let's do Proverbs. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. Proverbs 6 and 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Words work. Did you get that? Words work. Words work. The word of God works. So that's what we're learning, me and you. Words work. And my tongue can bring healing to my body, or it can set my whole body on fire. You say, but my body is not well. And should I not say, if it's not what you want, it should not be what you're saying. Thou art snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken captive by the words of your mouth. What you might be saying, and now in context here is saying, don't just, you know, be shorty for anybody. Don't. But basic point, your words are you. Your words trap you. Your words cage you. So if you say you can't, you can't. If you say you can, you can. So rather than say I can't, it's just difficult. You don't have to try to impress anybody, but on your own, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I could do all things. I've seen pictures in a time of prayer or some other time, maybe, you know, bathroom or something, and God shows me that picture, ministry, and it looks so big. And I feel so small. But you have to watch your words. Sometimes all I just respond is, I take my place in the body of Christ. I take my place. And sometimes you say that and the thought comes, you, which you? You know, some of you might even have heard me say those kinds of phrases. Yeah, because you've seen me or you believe in me, Pastor X, it teaches me the word. But you might not know, you know, from those days of obscurity where nobody knew you, what you've had to receive and accept when God speaks to you. And there are some of you in the next 5-10 years, we should be reading your books. I don't mean like you printed 1,000 copies and after that you never printed again. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we should be reading your books in many places. But you're not accepting the wisdom of God. You're not accepting the will of God. You're not accepting. You're fighting it with words, with I can't. I don't see how possible. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken captive. And then it starts becoming real. You won't be able to see the way to do it. I don't see how. I don't see how I can do it. I don't see how. And then we really don't see how, because we still keep saying we don't see how. And our words create our reality. They build a house for us. Your word is your location in the realm of the spirit. Your words will build a home. Is your address. I don't see how. So anything that looks like you should not see how starts coming to that address. I don't see how. Oh, but when you say all things are possible, all things are possible. You're speaking the will of God and your high priest can offer it and then the angels are working. Do you understand this, please? So we're snared by the words of our mouth. We're taken captive by the words of our mouth. Proverbs chapter 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Proverbs 12. Glory to God. So look at the 6th verse and 14 and then 18. But Proverbs 12 verse 6, first of all. Thank you, Lord. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Hey, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Do you remember Psalm 91? He is my refuge. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. And when God was going to respond, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him and honor him. So the mouth of the righteous will deliver them. Child of God, your mouth is your deliverance. Is it all about the words? No, but words have an important part to play. The mouth of the righteous will deliver them. It will deliver us from sickness. It will deliver us from hardship. It will deliver us from turmoil and from toiling. It will deliver us from storms. It will deliver us from calamity. The mouth of the righteous will deliver them. The mouth of the righteous will deliver them. You have to say so that your angels can act. They act into the voice of the word. You say. The mouth of the righteous will deliver them. So my mouth is delivering me. If we keep describing, it's just tough. Getting a job is difficult. Getting promotion is hard. Things are, no. The mouth of the righteous will deliver them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The 14th verse now. Proverbs 12 and 14. My mouth delivers me. My mouth, it delivers me. So the key is here. Spiritual warfare. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. So that's the A part. The rest is, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. But A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. You will be satisfied by the fruit of your mouth. Good will come, but it's your mouth that will produce it. Good will come to you. Things will happen to you. Favor will occur. Oh, but it's your mouth. It's your, oh, hallelujah. I will be satisfied with good, by the fruit of my mouth. So it's not just amen. Mm-mm. You have to use the mouth to move you forward now. Amen. Now the 18th verse of this same Proverbs 12, 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I'll leave the A part first. We'll come back to it. The tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. When we start focusing more on this pain, the way I'm feeling, if you need to see a doctor, please see a doctor. Or even at that, you need to speak the word. Because when you go to the doctor and you come back, whatever report they give you, you have to still address it with the word. You have to address it with the word. But the tongue of the righteous is health. The tongue of the righteous is health. The tongue of the righteous is health. Now the A part, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. So I told you earlier, sword of the spirit is the word of God, but the devil has sword too. So when we speak the word of God, we're using God's own sword. When we speak the devil's words, we're speaking his own. NLT, please, Gabe. Oh, hallelujah. The righteous is delivered. So let's stop cutting ourselves with sword. Some people make cutting remarks. It's a remark, but it is cutting. All right. About someone, about something. And like I said, you're trying to describe a situation, describe your spouse, husband or wife, describe your kid. And then you're using words. I don't even know why you behave like you're just unserious. We do that in anger. You know how many things we say seriously when we're angry? And then we repent of it later. This is me getting better. This is you getting better. Like I said, this was February's teaching, but I'm excited it's January. I see more reasons why it should be January. It was a technical switch we had to make for some reasons. I see more reasons why it's now. It's blessing me. I just want you to bless me, and then I teach you guys better, February, but praise God. I'm sure someone is loving this. So there are people, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise, they bring healing. So when we talk, do we cut or do we heal? Do we cut? And unconsciously, I've been there. Well, you speak words and they are harsh. You didn't intend to, but that's how they come out. All right. What do? We change it. The remarks are cutting. They are not helpful. So our words can bring healing. 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 Our words can bring strength. TPT, please. And then we'll maybe do Amplified and come out of that. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, but I just want to say it. Would he bless the hearer? 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 Would he minister to the hearer? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 18, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 18. Thank you, Lord. Reckless words are like the truss of a sword. Did you get that? Reckless words are like a thrust of a sword, cutting remarks meant to stab and to hurt. It was just a word. I was just saying, is that not how it is? But they were reckless. And then they cut like the sword. Cutting remarks. And that says, but the words of the wise, they soothe, they heal. You say, but if I keep saying it, they will not take me serious. I want to say it. And then we say it and we cut. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord has a sword. The enemy has his own sword. And then God says, speak my word, use my sword. The enemy says, take my own sword, cut the thing. God's words can cut cancer. It can cut hatred. The word of God can cut hatred. All right? The word of God can, it cuts through. It cuts through death. It cuts through. But the words of the enemy. So let's stop stabbing ourselves with words. And stop stabbing people. Sometimes they're too reckless. And I just don't know. It's as if I'm forgetting. My brain is so dumb. Now you might say, yeah, but I know brilliant people that talk like that and they are still brilliant. It might take effect in another area you don't know. You don't see. We have to understand this. All right, amplify it. And then we'll leave out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are those who speak rashly like the piercing of his word, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So with those four different versions, I hope it's clear. Don't pierce the person. Don't pierce yourself. This wound is just not getting healed. I hope it will not become something. Don't cut yourself deeper. Bring healing to yourself. Bring healing to your respiratory system. Bring healing to your bones. Bring healing to your back. The tongue of the wise will bring healing. And then bring healing to the person. Bring healing to the people. Bring healing. Someone goes harsh and that person responds. Harsh, 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 harsh. We're cutting. Proverbs 11, 11. 11, 11. Proverbs 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we'll just read a bit of 10 and then we're done. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And I said this earlier, you know, you say, oh, the government is clueless. The leaders are this and then they're that. And they keep being clueless. You know, they keep being clueless. We got to learn better. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. It is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. All right. So you have to see here the words are blessings are words. All right. We'll see that better. Woo! We'll see that better tomorrow. There's a whole chunk for tomorrow. Curses and blessings, curses and blessings, curses and blessings, curses and blessings, curses and blessings. They are words. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful. Multiply. So we're dealing with blessings and curses and a whole lot of great stuff tomorrow. God blessed them. And he said, all right, Isaac blessed by saying, Jacob blessed. We'll see the blessings. We'll see the curse. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Nobody eats fruit from you hereafter again. And sometimes you tell somebody, nobody will hire you. Nobody will marry you. Is it a blessing? It could be a curse. It sounds like what Jesus said to the fig tree. You never knew anything. Your brain is empty. Is it a blessing? Is it a curse? I was just joking. We're going to see all of that tomorrow. the importance of words. So it's not words of words of faith, confession. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes, you say by stripes I'm healed, but then you said like horrible things for the next like 45 minutes. Did I say 45 minutes? Like next 48 hours. You know, you just keep saying things. Do bad thoughts come to the mind of all creatures? It's possible. Basic rule for the unregenerated: the heart of man is desperately wicked. Unregenerated, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? All right. So negative thoughts come to everyone, but these thoughts can die unborn when we do not act on them. I just want to quickly answer a question. So these thoughts can they die unborn if nobody acts out on them. You know, if nobody jumps out on them. Two more minutes. Let's see what we can read. There's still like how many from Proverbs 10? So yeah, thoughts, negative thoughts come to everyone. I believe I answered that question, right? Yeah. Okay, sorry. All right. Glory to God. All right. So Proverbs 10. We have a couple from Proverbs 10. Nah, let's hold on. We'll do that tomorrow. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The words of the righteous, the tongue of the righteous, the mouth of the righteous delivers them. The mouth of the righteous delivers them. All right. We read that earlier from Proverbs 12. The mouth of the righteous delivers them. The mouth of the righteous. Could you just go ahead, repeat that like 5-6 times, maybe 10. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. Thank you, Gabriel. My mouth delivers me. Proverbs 12:6. But the mouth of the upright delivers them. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. My own mouth is delivering me. My mouth. Just repeat it, you know, to yourself again and again and again. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. Hallelujah. I want you to see it. I know we'll say maybe like 10 already. My mouth delivers me. And then maybe paint the picture. It delivers me from this to this. It delivers me. It delivers me from oppression. It delivers me from lack. Maybe you feel you're stagnated. It delivers me from stagnancy. My mouth delivers me. My mouth delivers me. Glory to God. My mouth delivers me. Like I said, the word of God works, yes, but we need to learn words work. They either work for us or they work against us. Words work. Words work. Our mouth can actually put us in trouble and bind us there and snare us, or our mouth can deliver us and put us in abundance. You say, but I've said it 3 times. I've said it 10 times. It's not working. Hold on. We'll deal with that better tomorrow. Stop. It's not working. It's not working alone is a negative statement. That's what the devil wants you to say. He wants you to say it's not working. He wants you to say it's not working. You say, no, Satan, my mouth delivers me. By my lips, I will enjoy an abundance of life. By my lips, I'll enjoy an abundance of health. I will enjoy increase and favor. You know, I'll enjoy, you know, greater mighty things. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you so mighty much. Thank you, dear Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, Lord, because our mouths deliver us. Thank you for the revelation of your word that we get, you know, we've gotten from this and will continue to get by your spirit. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.